All right, everyone. Welcome to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, like almost every story we have in tonight's show, especially our top story, which is getting very little coverage as it stands this hour, which is a terrorist attack inside of mainland Russia this afternoon. At the very same time, literally, that Russia declares victory in Bakhmut, there's a terrorist attack in mainland Russia. We are really entering the most dangerous phase of this war as the United States and NATO ramp up to send F-16s to that country and attack Crimea. That's the new plan. So we'll unpack the very latest the war in Ukraine.
Plus, a new bill would create a new federal agency to police what you do online, issue you fines, and give you court orders to stop it. It is like, you know, the FBI for the internet. You would not have a way to fight this. It's actually even more oppressive than the FBI. I went over this bill today, and I'm horrified by it. Stay tuned. We're going to go through it together.
What could go wrong with a new federal agency? Why don't we just keep, let's add a behavior, a federal agency for behavior.
Federal agency for online speech, basically, is what it is.
I'm done.
Lost me at federal agency, but you have to pay attention to this, you guys, because this is what world governments want, is to go in, like they literally seek to pervert the algorithm if you are speaking about things that they think are dangerous.
Not to do the story right now because we're just telling you what's coming up, but holy, I'm pissed already. But like, you know, the United Nations openly admitting that, hey, we fudge the Google algorithm. We work with Google to fudge search results.
Yes, but this would be the U.S. government jumping the line in order to downrank online speech and police it.
What could go wrong?
So you need to know about this bill. You need to watch out for it. You need to understand the nuances on it, for it. And in my opinion, we should stand up collectively together. Absolutely. You decide what you're going to do, but that's what I think.
Also, Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. Why in the world are we hearing more and more about Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein? What is actually going on here? Something big and something fishy is happening with this story, and we're going to unpack the latest bombshell revelations today from the Wall Street Journal, a front page story about Bill Gates's escapades. Like, what is going on here? All of that. Plus, the government doesn't want you to eat meat, and they're going to police that. We'll tell you what New York City is doing. All of that as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in, everybody, to Redacted on this Monday. Are you feeling it? Because, you know, while you were lulled into a false sense of security with your weekend, the government was busy screwing you over and doing some all sorts of crazy crap as Joe Biden is out in Hiroshima in Japan at the G7 summit, making deals and basically throwing the United States under the bus. What time is it? The time is to start the show.
It's time for me to get a spam voicemail.
So yeah.
I'm going to turn on do not disturb.
Good idea. Hey, we have a newsletter that you should all subscribe to. It's totally free. Great. Yep. This newsletter, if you go to redacted.inc, you can sign up. We literally hit a new record for subscribers to the newsletter. It's because we really try to bring you a ton of value first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. You can read the newsletter in like 5 to 10 minutes. We cover about 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day. We try to add some humor in there, make you laugh a little bit, but also tell you the stories that the mainstream media is not going to cover. Again, it's totally free. So just go to redacted.inc. That's the place to go. Put in your email address, and then you'll have to receive a welcome email. You just need to verify that email. And then tomorrow morning at about 6:30, about 7 a.m. Eastern time, depending on when Natalie and I get it done.
When we get our act together.
Yeah, when we're done with our coffee and we have it written is when we publish it. So sometimes it's 15 minutes late. Just depends on, you know, what we're doing in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
like Clayton had to take his car in this morning.
Yeah, so, to get it fixed. So that was, a little delayed.
Newsletter gets late. That's just how it goes around
here. We're human beings with real lives, but we write a newsletter and we hope you enjoy it every day. All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Redacted. We are now officially in the most dangerous part of the war in Ukraine, and you're seeing it in action this afternoon. This afternoon, NATO, and I say this very specifically, NATO and Ukrainian forces launched a surprise attack inside mainland Russia in the area of Belgorod. Now, this is an area that is pre-war Russia. Like, this is not an area that they're currently fighting over. No, this has long been Russian territory. So here is, this is the moment when Ukrainian forces shot up a civilian driving a car and then launched attacks on residential buildings. You can see here, this car driving down the road. This is a civilian driving down the road. And you can see, do we have the video?
Nope, that's not a civilian.
Give me a second. Sorry, I lost connection, so I just reconnected. So.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try that again then. There we go. Okay. All right. So this is the moment when Ukrainian forces shot up a civilian driving a car. This is a civilian like driving, you know, on the way home from the grocery store. There's some Ukrainians in the woods right there. And we're just going to shoot up your car, take control and commandeer the car. And they were also setting up anti-tank defenses in this area. So people were like looking out their windows in this residential neighborhood, seeing a bunch of Ukrainians using U.S. armored vehicles. Like, what the heck is going on here inside of Russia? So here is an American U.S. M1224, a Max Pro MRAP. This was one of the many vehicles that they were using. This is United States. And this was confirmed. You can see videos out of people's windows. They're terrified because they're looking out and they're seeing American armored vehicles with Ukrainian and NATO forces standing there shooting people up. Unbelievable.
That's like a real life Red Dawn. Like imagine you're just driving through your neighborhood and all of a sudden soldiers are walking out of the trees.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, holy smokes, what is going on here? And also, why are American armored vehicles like in Russia?
How'd they get there?
What the hell? So they are driving American provided armored vehicles. Again, just to underline this, okay, let's just draw a line underneath this. NATO and Ukrainian soldiers launched an attack inside of pre-war Russia, using American armor and American weapons, where they fired on civilians and hit residential buildings. Just so we understand, we're clear on what was done here. Imagine if Russia were caught doing that in Virginia, like David just brought up Red Dawn, like Wolverines. Like, can you imagine, like, hey, this outside of Charlottesville, Virginia this afternoon, 39 Russians showed up with tanks and armored vehicles. What would we do? Just tell me in the chat room, like, what would we do? What would the United States do in that with that kind of a response? Well, we saw after 9/11 what happened, right? So we know what kind of a response we'd have.
Endless war on the Middle East. Is that what you're going for?
I was going to say, what, we'd attack Kazakhstan?
Yeah, exactly. We'd find something to attack. I know that would be the case.
Unlimited and unending war powers to survey citizens and also world leaders. Is that also what you're looking for?
Probably. That's exactly what would happen. So, and that's exactly what we've done, of course, in the past when these things have happened. So, side note, we got word that Russia killed all 39 of the soldiers that carried out the attacks on these civilians inside of Russia. That came from the Russian Ministry of Defense this afternoon. So that is a bit of breaking news. Now, a United Nations spokesperson a few minutes ago, when asked about it by a reporter, said, this is the first I'm hearing of this. I don't know anything about this. Really? Okay, more lies. And you know, it used to be that when politicians lied to us and we found out about it, we would hold them accountable. They'd be prosecuted at best and maybe thrown out of office at worst. Now we have irrefutable proof that NATO and the Biden administration have been lying to us at every stage of the Ukrainian war, every stage of it. Beyond the obvious lies, of course, that NATO provocation had nothing to do with the Russian invasion, there's unmistakable promises from President Biden at every stage of the war, telling us he's not going to do something and then violating those things a few months later. Let's run through go ahead.
I just want to add really quick. So now Russia also has our vehicles that were used. So that's going to be very easy for Putin to say, hey, look, you know, we've been saying America's involved. You're like, we haven't been sure. Here are their vehicles on Russian soil.
Yeah. In fact, well, some of them, they've already been put in some of the Russian museums. You know, they've already shown them off. Like, see this, that we've already captured these.
But those they took from the battlefield in Ukraine.
Yeah.
This now having them on their own territory does seem to be a game changer.
Yeah. So beyond the obvious lies that NATO provocation had nothing to do with Russia's invasion, there's the unmistakable promises that President Biden told us at every stage of the war. So let's run through these lies, shall we? In order. Biden told us that he would not send long-range missiles to Ukraine. He told us this. Notice the byline on this article. This is May of last year, 2022. As Ukraine seeks long-range weapons, Biden said U.S. won't send rocket systems that can reach Russia. That was President Biden. He made those comments, by the way, you'll remember, because we covered it here on the show, after Zelensky demanded HIMARS. Remember, he was like, you're going to send us HIMARS. You're going to send us long-range weapons. Yes, you will. To which the United States was like, no, we're not. We're not going to send rocket systems from the United States. We're not going to do that. Then Biden told us he wouldn't send tanks to Ukraine or other armored vehicles or planes or trains or anything because that would lead to World War III. Remember this?
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III, okay?
Yeah, okay. Now, of course, we have World War III. That's what we're in right now. You can call it whatever you want, but that's exactly what this is, when the world is waging a war, and all of these countries, the NATO countries, are an alliance to attack Russia. This is a world war. You guys have another name for it? I don't have another name for it. And remember when President Biden promised that we wouldn't be sending any F-16 jets to Ukraine? First thing, Biden says U.S. will not provide F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine. Notice from the Daily Mail at the top, this article is more than 3 months old. Yeah, wow. He said that repeatedly. And now that's about to change as well, because over the weekend, President Biden said the administration now supports sending F-16s to Ukraine.
Okay, then.
So, long-range weapons, no, not going to happen. Tanks, not going to happen. F-16s, not going to happen. Wrong, wrong. Lies, 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 lies. All down the list.
Which also means they're going to be lying about pilots, because we know that they don't have pilots that can fly F-16 in Ukraine.
Yeah, they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. So over the weekend, President Biden said the administration now supports sending F-16s to fly in Ukraine. And Biden announced a new aid package, which includes training for Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16s. But he says, Zelensky and I, we had a conversation, and they promised that they won't use F-16s in Russia. So in mainland Russia, just like they didn't use American armor today in Russia. But this will be different. So F-16s will be different than the armor that you just used today to hit civilians in a terrorist attack. Okay.
That's like, you know, when I got my driver's license, I wasn't allowed to drive on the freeway.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, no, I didn't take the freeway to go there. I took the side roads. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm from California. You take the freeway.
You take the freeway.
Right.
Because you don't, the side roads.
As you give me the keys, I'm going to do whatever the heck I want.
Yeah. So we're going to give you F-16s.
I'm a rebel like that.
They're going to be bombing everything.
Yeah.
So, and here's my favorite part. Biden says, you know, he had this long talk and he promised them, we're not going to fly these jets. We're just not going to fly them into Russian territory. So we'll only do it to areas that we think are still Ukrainian, like Crimea and the Donbas, areas that they've been attacking since 2014 in a nonstop, of course. Donetsk.
These people voted. They voted. They tried to join Russia in 2014. They were not allowed. They tried again last year and they voted. We should not be voting, bombing them for the way they voted. That's retaliatory.
Yeah, I would think that's or AKA a genocide.
Or that.
Well, and I have a question. Has there been any Russian jets verified even in Ukraine? Like, are they just, they're just going to fly these jets around Ukraine doing what? Like, because the only strikes that have happened in Ukraine have been Russian missiles coming over. It wasn't jets.
Drones, right.
Over Ukraine, right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a good question. That's a good.
Well, let's just remember, there are no pilots. They don't have no Air Force. All of the F-16s that they had initially have been destroyed. So this is not a game changer. It's a game changer in that if they start to use them with NATO pilots launching into Russia, but that's the game changer.
I think David's question was, is Russia flying jets into, is that what you asked, David? Did I get that wrong?
I think so. Absolutely.
It makes no sense. Right. It makes no sense for them to even have the jets unless they plan to go into Russia. They're saying they won't. But like, it makes zero sense for them to have them if they're not, because they're not fighting, like shooting down Russian jets because they're not flying
right.
over
oh,
there.
Right. Oh, okay. I
right,
get it.
Right, right, right. Or what are they going to do? Like take on a Kinzhal missile, hypersonic missiles flying around? Yeah. Like, oh, I got
there's
this one.
There's nothing that can shoot that down.
Like, you know, like the ghost of Kiev is going to shoot that thing down. Right. Like, we know how that's
right.
going to go.
You need Maverick. Cessnas is going to yeah. fly in an F-16.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, just a quote on these jets from President Biden today. U.S. President Biden said on Sunday that he had received a flat assurance from Ukrainian President Zelensky that he would not use Western-provided F-16s to go into Russian territory.
It's a pinky promise.
That's right. To which Michael Tracy said, I like this, the Biden administration's pattern of evolution on sending weapon systems to Ukraine they previously pledged not to send, missiles, tanks, now F-16s, etc., could also be described as a pattern of false assurances and deceit. But you won't see the media describing it as such. Right, they're not outraged about this. Mr. President, why won't they ask them in the press briefing room? Hey, Corinne Jean-Pierre, the president lied at multiple stages. Why should we believe anything coming out of his mouth at all?
Oh, they will say that a decade later. They're now willing to admit that the Iraq wars were wrong. And so as soon as they've got a padding of a decade, they'll say that.
Yeah,
but they won't say it now.
When they're not actively involved in an administration. So instead of being punished for these lies, they're being rewarded for it. Here's the state-run media, also known as CNN, interviewing National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Now, where Jake confirms he confirms the F-16s, which we'll get to in a second. But here he drops the biggest bomb of all on Crimea. Listen.
UK recently gave long-range missiles to Ukraine. France is following suit. Up until now, the U.S. has balked at giving Ukraine similar weapons. And in February on this show, you would not say whether the U.S. would support Ukrainian efforts to recapture Crimea. That's one of the concerns that has been expressed about whether or not the Ukrainians are given the ability to hit Russian targets in Crimea. Do you think that Crimea is part of Ukraine?
Of course.
So what would be the objection?
Crimea is Ukraine. I mean, that's a very straightforward thing.
Well, yeah, you answered it directly. I mean, Russia doesn't think so, obviously. But do you think that Ukraine should have weapons that can reach Russian targets in Crimea?
Yes, we have not placed limitations on Ukraine being able to strike on its territory within its internationally recognized borders.
Yes, the answer is yes. Go ahead and attack Crimea.
Because you know, if you want someone back, you abuse them.
That's the best way that's the best way to win somebody.
If you ever leave me, Clayton, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Right.
And that's how I'll get you back.
And then I'll come back.
Okay.
You just bomb me. And then, you know what? I really like these guys that are bombing my house on a regular basis.
I hope I can rejoin them.
Man. Oh, attacks on freaking Crimea. Well, smart move, you
idiots. And it's also funny how the uranium conversation just went away. Like, nobody talks about that anymore. Like,
oh, the depleted uranium?
About, oh, we made these promises. Yeah, like...
Yeah, good point. We left that out. There's just not enough time.
That's another lie. Look, I'd be here all night if I had hit every lie that they say. So the answer is yes. Let's attack Crimea. This is a terrifying prospect that could lead to nuclear war. The New York Times a few months ago warned us that it was on the table. But, you know, the Biden administration is actively considering it. Let them attack Crimea. This is the solution. This is the solution. Let's help Ukraine attack Crimea, said the New York Times. Here's Caitlin Johnstone's take on this madness. U.S. may help Ukraine launch an offensive on Crimea. And she says, Moscow has considered Crimea a part of the Russian Federation since its annexation in 2014, meaning efforts to recapture it would, at least in theory, be treated the same as an invasion of any other part of Russia. It was only by way of arbitrary bureaucratic fluke that Crimea wound up as a part of Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union. And Crimeans overwhelmingly prefer to be part of the Russian Federation. That we may be soon staring down the barrel of a nuclear Third World War over something so pedantic is a very dark shade of absurd, she writes.
You don't have to rewind the clock that much. Read any history book about the new Ukraine since the overthrow of the government in the last 20 years. And people in Crimea overwhelmingly said, what'd you just do to my passport? That they came in, made them Ukrainian, and they were like, what? I don't want this. It's not a media narrative. It's true. You can read books about it.
But the Biden administration thinks that Crimea is part of Ukraine. So shouldn't we listen to the Biden administration? Should we listen to pencil neck Jake Sullivan at the, you know, at the Pentagon?
I mean, I don't know where this narrative came from other than the Obama administration.
Right.
When they wanted to talk strong about Crimea. And, you know, the narrative was we want to talk strong about talking strong. Yeah. That's what the Obama administration did about this in order to bolster Russia as an enemy. But this is what these people wanted overwhelmingly. She's right.
Yeah. So Crimea might have overshadowed the F-16 comments, the jets. But here is the testiest part of the interview where Jake Tapper feels kind of misled. Like, you told me back in February that you weren't going to send F-16s. I feel like you should have been warmongering more. You should have been more of a warmonger back then. Why did you wait so long to warmonger? Listen.
Well, let's talk about some of the accomplishments there in Japan. President Biden told the G7 leaders that the United States is going to support this joint effort to train Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16 fighter jets. As you know, just a few months ago, the president said there was no basis militarily for giving Ukraine jets and that Ukraine didn't need them at all. What changed, and would these jets not have been more effective if Ukraine had been trained and had them in time for the upcoming counteroffensive?
Well, actually, Jake, when President Biden answered that question, he was talking about the preparations that the United States and our allies were making with Ukraine for the counteroffensive. And the critical systems for the counteroffensive are not planes. They're tanks and artillery systems and HIMARS and huge amounts of ammunition. And the United States has mobilized an exceptional effort to deliver on time and in full everything Ukraine needs to launch this counteroffensive. Now that we've done that, we can look forward to the long-term capacity of Ukraine to be able to defend itself and deter Russian aggression. Fourth-generation fighter aircraft, Western fighter aircraft, F-16s are relevant to that fight. That's why the president told his G7 colleagues this weekend that he will, in fact, support the training of Ukrainian pilots. But he is focused on the type of system needed for the phase of the fight that is at hand. And for this counteroffensive, he has delivered at speed and at scale what the Ukrainians need.
Is President Biden going to allow European countries to give their F-16s to Ukraine? And will they, these jets arrive in Ukraine before the end of 2023?
I'm not going to put a timetable on it. What the president has said is that he'll sit with his European allies and with the Ukrainians to work out who, when, and how many jets get transferred. And we're in the process of doing that right now.
Would the U.S. give any F-16s?
I think given the numbers that are currently available from the stocks of our European allies and the fact that based on the money the Congress has given us, there's so many other priorities for systems to give Ukraine, it may be that we focus more on third-party transfer, but the president hasn't made a final decision.
Yeah, so more HIMARS, more long-range weapons. I like what Byron says here in our chat room on Rumble. Byron27 says, does that news guy know that he's lying about Jake Tapper? Go ahead, Philip.
To me, it sounds like it's like the administration, like what they're doing with all these weapons and stuff is like those people that will text a slightly sexually suggestive text to somebody, and then depending on their reaction, say, no, I was just kidding. Like, how could you do that? When he said we weren't going to send him, he just meant not for the counteroffensive.
Right.
Well, of course we're going to send him for the long-term goal. You know, like, well, that's
long-term stability.
This means.
Yeah, long-term stability, but not like this immediate war with Russia, but like long-term stability we'll send them for him.
And I'm not happy that we're now talking about the end of 2023. What's the battle plan for then? Because we were told, okay, just there's a winter counteroffensive coming. That didn't happen. We need the ground to thaw. We need the ground to dry up. Now it's just the spring counteroffensive. Now we're almost to summer. Well, it's a summer counteroffensive. Like one season ahead, you know, I think we can sort of hang on and hope for peace talks, but like the end of the year?
No,
now
it's gonna,
we're
you know,
saying the end of 2023. That... It's just hard to conceive of.
No, and I've got a tweet that I'm going to show you here in a few minutes as I wrap this up on specifically like how long this goes on here. So he's pissed. Jake Tapper's pissed here that we didn't send F-16s sooner. That's basically what he's saying. That basically CNN's position here.
I just want to throw in really quick and how, you know, motivational for all these other countries that want so bad to join NATO that a non-NATO country can get so much support from around the world. That should make them happy. You don't have to join NATO. Just show a little interest in it and we'll support you.
Yeah, you don't even have to be a card-carrying member of NATO to get all the benefits. Mm-hmm. Like your AARP membership. You know, you just know an old person and you get all the benefits. So
as long as your flag goes with our decor, we'll wear it.
if it matches the drapes. So this is what Caitlin Johnstone says about the warmongering from Jake Tapper. Says it's so obnoxious how the only time you ever see these mass media propagandists challenging the U.S. government on its warmongering is when they're pushing it to be more warlike and demanding answers on why it isn't warmongering more. This creates the illusion of brave adversarial journalism, when in reality, these empire cronies are just manufacturing consent for the increased aggressions the U.S. wants to wage anyway. So Jake Tapper's just basically pissed that we didn't do this earlier, mm-hmm. that we didn't send these jets earlier. And he's upset that he was like put off about it for so many months. So this Western...
I'm sure he really knows how to make advances on the battlefield.
Yeah. So this Western coalition that Sullivan is referring to is Portugal, Britain, France, the United States, Netherlands, Denmark, and Belgium. Denmark crapped its pants today. They were so excited. They were so excited to send jets. They wasted no time. Like President Biden said, hey, we're going to send F-16s. Denmark was like, yeah, we're joining the F-16 coalition. We're going to send our F-16s. Denmark is getting in on the action. I have to think there's a massive financial incentive to send these old F-16s. Like, get rid of your old aircraft program. Like, turn in your old aircraft. Here, send it to Ukraine, and then Lockheed or NATO will reimburse you with some brand new Lockheed Martin F-16s. Get those General Dynamics F-16s, you know, lined up. By the way, Portugal, we learned this afternoon. I'm very proud of Portugal. I'm surprised by this. They've sent a few tanks. But Portugal said, no, we're not sending F-16s to Ukraine. We need them. Okay. What is Portugal's like, you know, the third safest country in the world? Like, what do you need them for? But anyway, nevertheless, Portugal's like, we're not sending our F-16s to Ukraine.
No,
so good.
Thank you.
So good. So Denmark went right for it. And Portugal said, no, we'll wait to see what these other countries say. And just so we understand this, of course, this is a huge money laundering scheme, sending all these weapons over there and then money back and forth and washing it back and forth. Just so we understand what Russia has done, Russia has already destroyed all of Ukraine's F-16s, all of them, that they had at the start of the war. They're gone. Ukraine has no air force and they have no pilots. But don't worry, we're going to get them trained up real fast. So there's no reason to do this other than to escalate a war with Russia. I spoke to a former NATO pilot today who told me, I'm just going to bring up what this NATO pilot told me, and it's interesting. So I asked specifically, how long would it take to train an F-16 pilot?
Like, could Natalie do it?
Like, could I do it? Right. I have no training whatsoever. And what this pilot explained to me was the training takes 8 to 10 months. That includes everything from instrument qualifications, carrier qualifications, air-to-air syllabus qualifications, air-to-ground syllabus qualifications, low-altitude tactics. If already a pilot, you could train someone on specifics within maybe 3 months if they're good. Someone would be assuming massive risk, however, if they did that. And smaller numbers of pilots means more training events each and every day. So because if you have fewer pilots, they'd be doing more and more training exercises. So the answer is it would take a hell of a long time to get these pilots from nothing to flying.
Oh, so then...
Philip,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that, yeah, that's getting them to able or the ability to fly the F-16, but to use it as a weapon, to actually fight in it. That's an entirely different monster.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So then you're basically just sending somebody up there to die against a seasoned pilot, you know, that has combat experience.
Yes. Yeah. So this is like a rookie going up, you know, this is like a rookie playing right now.
Wait, David was going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say this is like what an easy strategy for Russia. Like, hey, we're going to knock out all their F-16s. They're on the ground, so we don't really have to.
It's a thing, right?
You're going to bunker sitting there.
You're going to send all this equipment, which we've already seen happening. They're going to show up in these warehouses. We're going to know exactly where they are, like sitting ducks, right? And they'll just be, they'll be destroyed the moment they arrive. I mean, it's asinine to think that they won't.
So when Zelensky told Congress, when he visited earlier in the year, that we don't need your training, we know exactly what to do, just send the weapons, was that, would you call that a lie?
I would call that an absolute lie, because he was saying, he said, we don't need your men, we don't need your personnel, we are Ukrainians, we know how to, we know how
no,
to
he literally
weapons.
Said we know how to use them.
Right, we know how to use them. So we'll just get, we're going to get Vlad over here. He's going to go up in one of these F-16s. He's never flown before, but now he's like the
how red, hard can it be?
He's like the Red Baron. So anyway, this there's no reason to do this other than to escalate a war with Russia. That's the only reason you're sending these F-16s. And this morning, Russia responded. Russia says that the West providing F-16s to Ukraine is a colossal risk, and that this would be an escalation of the war. We see that Western countries are still adhering to the escalation scenario, and it involves colossal risk for themselves, says Russia. In any case, this will be taken into account in all of our plans, and we have all the necessary means to achieve the goals we have set. Okay, so who do you believe here? I don't know. You know, do you believe the guys that, you know, Jake Sullivan, you believe the guys in NATO right now? Or do you believe the guys who literally today have raised the Russian flag over Bakhmut? Overnight, the city that Ukrainians call Bakhmut has finally fallen to Russians. After 9 months of bloody fighting, Russia's head of the Wagner Group announced it had 100% control of the city and that it will not return. It will now return to its official Russian name. And it, this is going to be harder for me to say. Artyomovsk. I hope I'm saying that right.
Artyomovsk. I don't know. You know, someone in the chat said, oh, you know, Vlad must be really happy with the redacted group. We're not saying that any of this is good, but we have been following the narrative since the beginning of this conflict, and Russians' story has not changed. What they've said and what they've done has not changed. If you follow the U.S. narrative, it's all over the place and it's full of lies. We don't want anything other than peace talks. We're not rooting for Russia. We're not rooting for anything other than total peace talks now.
Yeah. And stop the genocide in the Donbass.
And, yeah. And yeah. So if that and to you Vlad? Seems like we are then, yeah, which Vlad, that we are on one side or the other, you're not listening and you're being overly reductive in the world. And that is no way to be in global politics. So tone it down.
Person. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so
not
here's
you, sorry.
No, not me. So here's the map. So take a look at Bakhmut here on the map. So this is the next target is the city of Donetsk, where civilians have been, of course, under constant attack from Ukraine since 2014. Overnight, Russia launched several massive attacks. Now, keep this map up on the screen, if you will. At Ukrainian forces, overnight, Russia launched several massive attacks at Ukrainian forces near Donetsk. According to reports, hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers were killed. So get ready, guys. Get ready for the media to tell you that Bakhmut wasn't a big deal, but the real deal will be Donetsk. Like, this is the narrative that's going to start to unfold. You can even see the size of the font on the map. Like, oh, Bakhmut, the fortress that we thought was so important, well, it's fallen. It's not such a big deal because the real story is Donetsk. Okay. To hear even President Biden yesterday kind of downplaying Bakhmut, like, it's no big deal. Although the West for months was telling us how it was a huge deal and it was going to turn the tide of the war, but now it's not a big deal. I love how this narrative shifts, the lies constant. Listen.
Bakhmut. Bakhmut is a discussion about whether or not it's been lost or whatever. And well, the truth of the matter is the Russians have suffered over 100,000 casualties in Bakhmut. That's hard to make up. It's hard to make up. So whether or not there are troops in Bakhmut occupying. There's not many buildings left standing in Bakhmut. It's a pretty devastated city. But they have been able to move in a direction that they've been able to lock down an awful lot of the Russian forces, including the Wagner Group. So with regard to the F-16s, F-16s would not have helped in that regard at all. It was unnecessary. For example, let's take just Bakhmut, for example.
Yeah. So the Wagner Group is under control and locked down? Really? Okay.
Only the head of the Wagner Group today said we secured the city and we will be handing it over to the Russian military on Thursday.
And yeah, the Russian, yeah.
And they will be leaving of their own volition.
And on their way to Donetsk. So apparently somehow they've locked down the Wagner Group. They now have 100% control of the city. Okay. All right. Whatever. And I love the backdrop, right? He's in Hiroshima. Like, just think about the imagery of that for a moment. He's there lecturing the world about, being the arbiter of truth. And he's literally there at ground zero in Hiroshima, of all places. Anyway.
His own country bombed.
Yeah, exactly.
And Zelensky actually took the opportunity to say, like, Hiroshima looks like Bakhmut. Not that he would know. He's been abroad since the attack on the Kremlin in early May. But they are using that to sort of bolster their existing narrative. So that's not lost on them.
And someone in the chat saying here, let me see what it says. He's smiling. Oh, outside in says, and he's smiling about the 100,000 souls deleted. He's a demon. Yeah. And where did he come up with that number? 100,000 casualties? I don't know where he's even gotten that number from. But anyway.
He says you can't make that up. I think what he means is he made that up.
Right. Yeah. So, and this major escalation, I thought I'd share this. I'll share this in a second. I move some things around here. But Spiriter on Twitter reminded me of this. Zelensky admitting 2 months ago that defeat in Bakhmut would likely lead to peace negotiations and that his country wouldn't tolerate more fighting. This is from the Associated Press. We can't lose the steps because the war is a pie. Pieces of victory, small steps, Zelensky said. Zelensky's comments were an acknowledgement that losing the 7-month-long battle in Bakhmut, the longest of the war thus far, would be more of a costly political defeat than a tactical one. He predicted that the pressure from a defeat in Bakhmut would come quickly, both from the international community and within his own country. Our society will feel tired, he said. Our society will push me to have compromise with them. Oh, you mean like peace?
That's hilarious, because the Wall Street Journal today literally said that Ukraine backed off the war in Bakhmut so that they could rest and recuperate personnel and weapons. Where this comes from, I don't know, but the Wall Street Journal and the Western Press is making it seem like they sat back like...
They're like, yeah.
This one's a sunk cost, guys.
So we're going to sit back.
Yeah, we didn't like that place anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't even really like Bakhmut.
I don't like that woman anyway. So I just want to leave you with this tweet on this particular story here. And I think this is appropriate. So this is from Shea Bose. Says, the United States tells the Ukrainian people that America will stand with you as long as it takes. In Afghanistan, it took 20 years, $3 trillion, 70,000 dead people. Civilians, and then they left overnight. In 1989, the Afghans that we supported, they were heroes fighting Russia, right? And then in 2019, they're terrorists fighting the United States, so we're leaving. So guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen in Ukraine. Like, we already have seen the template. And when Jake Tapper asked Jake Sullivan, you're saying that this is going to take years? Because Jake Sullivan admitted this is going to be years. He's like, well, no, I just mean like this part of it could be long, and then just the long-term stability of Ukraine is long-term. Oh, you don't mean the war will last 20 years. Sure. We know where this is headed, guys. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. A lot of moving pieces on the war. I think this is the most dangerous phase, because now we really see what happens in Donetsk and what the full-on Russian response will be to these attacks inside of Russia. So, oh boy, here we go, guys. Over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be crazy.
All right. Well, we want to tell you about this new bill to create a federal internet police agency. Federal for the internet would affect all of us, no matter what platform we're watching on right now. It's terrifying as all heck. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at EnviroCleanse. Now, if all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense just select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board Navy ships? That's because EnviroCleanse has patented earth mineral technology plus hospital-grade HEPA filters. We in our house use home air filters every single night, and EnviroCleanse Cleanse is one of the best because they destroy cold and flu viruses such as COVID, allergy inflaming toxins, mold, and so much more. Plus, it has hospital grade technology, which is very powerful. It's in thousands of classrooms. The Environment Cleanse promise is that you will have far fewer colds and allergies and much better sleep. You can get a free air quality monitor as well to test the difference in your own home. So check it out yourself. Go to ekpure.com and use the code redacted for 10% off your EnviroCleanse home air purification unit, plus your free air quality monitor, plus fast free shipping. That's $150 worth of savings. So again, that's ekpure.com/redacted, ekpure.com/redacted. Also, my daughters really love to have air filters on when they sleep because it acts as a white noise.
Yeah,
it's a night. My middle child is like, oh no, I need that.
Well, and the other night, yeah, you were like sneezing like crazy because the allergies. How many of you guys right now in the chat are dealing with like crazy, crazy allergies right now? It's just insane.
I am for sure.
Yeah, so just putting on the air filter and like closing the door to go to sleep, it's like within like 30 minutes.
I might get one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clayton, this weekend he came downstairs and I was making coffee and my face was like this. And I was, he likes to say like, let's have some coffee outside. I was like, do not ask me to have coffee outside.
Like, go out.
I am suffering.
Yeah. He's like, I need to be inside. I need to be inside.
I need to wrap myself in bubble wrap.
All right. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about this new federal agency that's going to be started to take over social media and police everything that you have to say. We're also going to talk about this Bill Gates and story with Jeffrey Epstein and what I have some theories. I want to hear your theories on this, guys. On the, what the World Economic Forum is trying to do to Bill Gates right now. But I think something big is coming with Bill Gates. And so I really want to hear your take on that. So we're going to get to that in a moment.
All right. But first, you could be marked with behavioral codes by the U.S. government based on your social media if this new bill is passed. It would create a federal government that has full access to police and control every website. I am not kidding. Literally every single one. Not only that, the government would create a new federal agency that is it's online police. They could launch investigations and fine you based on what you say. And it is not like the FBI, where if they accuse you of something, you get your day in court. No, their word on your online behavior would be final.
This is unbelievable.
Now, I know this sounds scary, and this is one of those segments where I'm going to show you bits of the bill that I think are concerning. I know that doesn't always make for amazing television, and Clayton will lecture me later about screenshots of bills. But anyway, I think we need to educate ourselves about this, and we absolutely should tell our representatives what we think of it. So hold on tight. I know I've already lost you at new federal agency because federal agencies did not have a good week last week with the Durham report, with the FBI whistleblowers.
CIA.
With, new revelations that the FBI has been using 9/11 powers to survey Americans over almost 300,000 times last week. That was revealed. And they said, oh, that's not in the rules. We got confused about the Justice Department emails. So, okay, here's what this is. This is from the Digital Platform Commission Act of 2023. Came out from these two Democratic senators, Colorado Senator Michael Bennett and also Vermont Senator Peter Welch. Now, what they're couching this as is a need for AI regulation. We've talked about this a lot. You know, tech giants are sort of warning that AI is going to run away from us too fast and then take over in short order. But is that what this bill is? It's not. It's not that at all. AI is barely mentioned in this bill other than a cautionary tale. What it does is give the government full access to every social media and website that operates inside the United States. I'm not kidding. Look at the jurisdiction. That's how they define it, is basically, yeah, any digital platform.
Any digital platform, the services of which originate or are received within the United States. So they get access to overseas.
Yes.
As well.
If Americans access it or it can be accessed in the United States, that's their business. What they would call this is the federal digital platform commission. Federal Digital Platform Commission. It's like the FCC for the internet. Here's what their job would be, and it's seven things that they lay out. They would access digital platform for civic engagement, they say, access to government services and public safety, competition to encourage the creation of new online services, prevention of harmful levels of concentration of private power. Okay, put a pin in that one. That sounds a little concerning. That means they don't want private individuals to basically have any power to have a website and then use that power. Number five, a robust and competitive marketplace of ideas with diversity of view. Yes, the government really wants diversity of view. Can we go to the next one, please? Number six, protection for consumers, including people, communities of color and underserved population from deceptive, unfair, unjust, unreasonable, or abusive practices committed by digital platforms. And number seven, assurance that the algorithmic process of digital platforms are fair, transparent, and safe. Okay, that one concerns me a lot. Who just laughed? Go ahead.
David fell out of his chair.
Because they use these terms that are subjective. It's like, and it just leaves it open for interpretation however they want to interpretate those words. And I always say that if you're going to go after people that cause fear, you have to do it to the least common denominator, the weakest among us.
Yes.
Because nobody can be hurt. And that just drives me insane.
Right. And so think about this idea of marginalized communities, right? And then if you can make the point that, let's say, me saying any words that makes you think, oh, this might not be fair, might be then flipped on its head and called hate speech and then downranked. I mean, I'm going to make this point later about how COVID behavior would have and could have been downranked, that kind of thing. So again, right away, we need to be wary that the government wants to access all digital platforms, but says, don't worry, we're doing this for civic engagement. Raise your hand if you believe that. And if we play this out a little, like we have platforms like we're streaming right now on Rumble, which have refused to censor topics such as COVID, elections, gender ideology, you name it. This bill would give the government a driver's license inside of Rumble. And Rumble couldn't say then, well, we don't want to downrank this conversation. We don't want to censor this conversation. They would have no choice. Twitter. We've shown how through the Twitter files, the government agencies could just slip into Twitter's DMs and say, censor that person, block that person, cancel that person, right? But now, because of Elon Musk, that had to be stopped. Well, this bill is one way to take that power back and just completely be in the driver's seat. Now, the senators say they want this because of these reasons. They say that, you know, they need to make sure that digital platforms are not undercutting small business, abetting the collapse of trusted local journalism. They're worried, right, that online social media is abetting the collapse of trusted local journalism. So they're choosing what is true.
Yeah.
Right. And who gets to speak.
They're going to tell us these journalists are deemed, this is like Canada all over again. Right.
Yes.
So the Canadian government, of course, will make you register to be deemed a government selected journalist, basically.
Right.
Right. If you're part of like Rebel News or somebody else, no, you're not a deemed journalist. You're not a trusted source. And so I could imagine a scenario where there's like a riot or there's something happening in your town and people take to Twitter and they're posting videos of like what they're seeing out their window. They're like, look what's happening. What's happening in my town? You know, and they could shut that down. They could literally come in and shut that down. And at the same time, they could then be turning to these trusted sources to disseminate fake news.
We don't need that hypothetical because we've already been through the COVID pandemic, where discussion of certain therapeutics that are proven were downranked and disallowed.
Blocked.
Where vaccine hesitancy was also downranked and disallowed.
Why?
Right?
Four times and we were banned on this channel, on YouTube specifically.
Mainstream media was willing to ask tough questions about the vaccine, and they were all then trusted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What were you going to say,
Philip? I was just going to say really quick, and the importance of like actual medical doctors with medical degrees were silenced. Like that's the biggest part of it. Like,
yes,
you know, and so those weren't the experts. So they're going to pick journalists that are the experts over doctors.
Yeah. They're going to pick Taylor Lorenz. Like, we've deemed Taylor Lorenz.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Your specialist, Jake Tapper.
No, I was just gonna say that basically, like, it's getting it. What they're saying is that, like, if you won't willingly join us, then we will block you. You know, it's like basically they only want journalists that will put them on the payroll and toe the line. And so, like, it's just a thinly veiled way of just trying to take out independent media.
So thin. Yeah, it's very transparent. Let's go back to those reasons now. That's number C, some of the reasons they think that we need this. They need to make sure that addiction and other harms to mental health are not exploited. Disseminating disinformation and hate speech, they want to take that on. Undermining privacy and monetizing the personal data of U.S. citizens without informed consent. And in some cases, radicalizing individuals to violence. And then the next one, the last one, was development of increasingly powerful algorithmic processes for communications. This one, leave on the screen for a little bit so that our audience can read this to themselves, because this one's pretty laughable. They're saying the algorithm could surface conversations such as, let's say, gender critical thought or actual discussions of COVID therapeutics, and the government could not suppress it because, you know, the algorithm. So the government is saying they mistrust the algorithm and they need to take that power back. Like, don't let the algorithm raise awareness about topics that are good for you. Let the government do it. And who exactly
inoculate you?
Right.
Yeah. Who exactly appoints this commission? Who's then going to be the one who chooses, who knows how to, like, manipulate the algorithm for our best interest? The president. The commission shall be composed of 5 commissioners appointed by the president. So absolutely, this will be a political hire.
Jack Klugman in our chat says he'll be named the central scrutinizer.
Yeah.
The central scrutinizer.
So, I don't remember if that's the name of
basically,
the... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, so we're basically, what they're proposing is putting a bunch of, like, 81-year-old guys that don't understand how Facebook works or what a direct message is. They're going to put those people in charge of an AI algorithm for YouTube. Like, I don't see that backfiring.
I suppose, although when you think of political appointees to these types of, you know, heads of these commissions, you're not going to get someone like Edward Snowden who's like, huh, this is maybe an infringement on civil liberties. You're going to get someone who's like, all right, I'm all in. Let's, you know, tell them what they can talk about. Let's do it. You get that
yes person, not necessarily the most qualified or the smartest that would be able to do it. You just get somebody that's willing to do what they want.
And gets drunk on that power.
Any agency. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You get a Yul Roth, basically. If you read the Twitter files and you're going along with the Twitter files, think of this as a Yul Roth who's just like, absolutely, let's shut down conversation because the government told us to. Now, what is it that this commission will be working on? Well, they're going to be coding your behavior. The commission will establish a code council that will develop these standards and behavioral codes. Take a look at how technical standards and behavioral codes. So let's say that you're doing something they don't like. You know, let's say you, for instance, are against school closures during the pandemic. That behavior would be coded and removed from the algorithm or purposely downranked. Of course, Google already does this. We know this. So does Twitter. So does Facebook. But this would be the government doing it directly. Google and Facebook have only done this because the government's asked them to. Now the government wouldn't even have to. It's taking out the middleman of social media. In order to do this, the agency would have full access to social media platforms, their managers, and all of their data. Take a look at this investigative authority that they want to give themselves. Basically, you know, we can go into the management, we can go into all your data. What's yours is ours. No more subpoena through the FBI. We just take it. You have to give it with us. Now, if anyone is found to not be working along with this agency or doing bad, unlike the FBI, they don't even have to bring this new agency. They don't have to bring their case against someone in a court of law. You know, when the FBI charges someone like President Trump, he has a chance to defend himself in a court of law. Not with this agency. The commission would basically have a final order, and then you have to pay your fines. Take a look. In general, they have final say. No, the previous one.
Goodbye, Fourth Amendment.
Final order.
Final order. The next one. Sorry, do you see that one?
I saw it. I saw it a second ago on the screen.
That one. Okay. The commission shall have basically any the right to, you know, issue a charge, classification, regulation, issue an order concluding an investigation, and then they that order is final. Then they assess a fine, and you have to pay that fine. You can appeal to the District Court of Appeals, or your attorney general can challenge an order, but, you know, that's assuming you have a lot of money and power. For the most part, you're kind of on the hook for this behavior unless you shell out the money for a federal appeal or get the attention of your attorney general. They also can order you to cease and desist certain behavior and establish a civil penalty for civil behavior, which I assume means jail time. I mean, think of this, right? If you're speaking out against school closures and they tell you, you need to stop doing that because we think it's unsafe. I mean, they easily made the argument that school was unsafe. And so if you say, no, it's bad for kids to be out of school, they can say, you saying that is making children unsafe. You want kids to die of COVID. So we're going to put you in jail, is what I assume establish a civil penalty means. It's not written out here, but why not give themselves that? Because this is a kitchen sink kind of bill. And here's how much it will cost American taxpayer dollars to approve of this online Gestapo. $100 billion for the first year, and it just goes up from there. $100 million, sorry. My glasses. And then just more and more each year in the first five consecutive years. So I think that this is a bone-chilling piece of legislation. I absolutely and wholeheartedly reject it. I would like to invite you to read the bill for yourself and see what you think about it and let your representative know whether you like it or you don't. Because, you know, I don't know how much this has a chance to pass in this divided Congress. But as long as this is out here, when Democrats take power, they will pass something like this unless we tell them not to. So,
well, and I mean, the problem I see with this bill is it's really easy to create a boogeyman out of AI, because that's an easy thing to get both sides on board with.
Yes,
they think Terminator. They think that's the narrative. Here's the boogeyman. We all have to fight the boogeyman. So any of them that are in the same place, Democrats or Republicans, they're going to be like, we need this. And then you'll have the fringe on the outside that may fight it. But I just see them being on board with that just because that's an easy narrative to spin.
It's a consolidation of power. And both Democrats and Republicans love that consolidation of power, so that the big tech firms get more power. They control more of the government. They absolutely they'll pretend. Republicans will play lip service to the fact that they don't like it. But in the end, they end up voting for it. They end up voting for these COVID bills. They end up voting for these COVID restrictions. They end up voting for greater power at the government level. And small businesses get squeezed and individual citizens get squeezed out. So they both parties love this kind of stuff. This was created by Democrats, but make no mistake about it, there will be people on the Republican side who will support this very, very much. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat.
Wait,
below.
Let Philip say something, and then we'll end.
Oh,
this
sorry.
One.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, how is this? So it seems to me that this shouldn't be a bill, and it's really not a bill. This is a constitutional amendment. Because this is directly overriding. Yeah. This is the government retaliating on free speech. This would be rewriting the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And that's very specific on what it says. The government can't do that. Yeah. It cannot retaliate against free speech.
Yeah. How can you not have due process? Like, you can't go through a court. You're just going to get a fine. They're just going to literally come after you and fine you for your speech.
Well, plus civil penalties, which, again, I'm assuming means jail time. Can you put up the first screen, the first image? Is that easy to put up the bill? Because people in the chat are asking what this bill is and how they can, you know, inform themselves about it. There was a link in today's newsletter. This is the name of the bill, the Digital Platform Commission Act of 2023. And yes, read up on it and tell me what you think. If you have a different read on it and you think that this is benevolent and I've got it wrong, I would love to hear it.
totally benevolent. Our government is nothing but benevolent. Smash that like button if you'd be so kind. That really helps push the show further out into the algorithm.
Well, and I wouldn't be encouraging people to smash it with this new bill on the line. Just delightfully tap it. We don't want anybody getting in trouble for smashing things.
That's true. You could, yeah, you could go to prison, I guess, now if you smash that like button. But you won't if you subscribe. Please make sure you're subscribed to the channel, both on Rumble and on YouTube. Please subscribe. Really helps to grow our community. We're closing in on 2 million subscribers here on Redacted. So thank you. And let me know in the chat if you're a new subscriber. Say hello in the chat. We're live right now. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Let us know. I saw someone in the chat saying, hey, I love that you guys interact with your chat room. We do. We try to. It flies by. We try to read it. And if you guys have any chats that are relevant to the conversation that we're talking about that you think are important, we try to get to them. We try to get to some of the super chats as well during the commentary while we're doing these stories. So please don't be shy. Let us know what you think. We've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about this Bill Gates story in a second. You don't want to miss that. And I really want to get your opinion on what you think is actually going on with Bill Gates and why we're hearing more about this right now. We'll get there. Plus, the government doesn't want you to eat meat, and they're going to regulate and watch how much meat you buy. We'll tell you where that's happening in the United States. But first, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 20 free stocks right now? Of course you would. Who wouldn't want 20 free stocks? Even if you do nothing else with this account and you just open it and you make an initial deposit and you get free stocks, you know, and then you can learn how to trade. You know, you can take some of their online free courses that Moomoo has built into their app, and you can sit back and let those free stocks do what they do. Right? So that's why I suggest going over and checking out. If you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, you can get up to 20 free stocks and trade like a pro. After you make your initial deposit, you get access to those 20 free stocks. Even if you never do anything else with the account, you get to keep those stocks. Moomoo has zero commission trades. The app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Windows and Mac. They can even help you trade with its advanced tools like their stock screener, their earnings calendar. No matter what your skill level is, you'll find fantastic tools that can help you trade. So open your free Moomoo account today. Get access to zero commission trades, 20 free stocks when you open your account and you make your initial deposits. To learn more, check out our link, redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's redacted.inc/Moomoo. All right, a little sip of water time here. The allergies, they're even getting my throat a little dry. Someone was saying in the chat, you know, allergies, the bee... Was it bee
pollen or propolis?
Propolis, but you need to get it like from your local beery.
Actually, I could take propolis from the top of our hive and just like, I guess.
Do it. I'll go out there and you're going to stick your face in the hive to get the...
Just rub it all over your face? Is that what you do? You just...
Yeah.
I'm not sure, actually.
Let us know in the chat.
It's kind of a sticky substance that they use to like seal up the hive and stuff. You could just run your finger. I don't know.
Let us know in the chat what that's about. All right.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trained.
All right. All right. Well, Jeffrey Epstein was murdered in prison. You all know that. Will Bill Gates be the next casualty of the deep state? Or let me ask this question another way. Is the World Economic Forum trying to throw Bill Gates under their electric bus? Because something fishy is going on here. And as more and more negative stories start emerging about Bill Gates, they're showing up now in the mainstream press, big mainstream media publications that have billionaires as their bosses and owners like Rupert Murdoch. So why are stories about Bill Gates showing up in these publications? Something is fishy. What do you think it is? Normally, you'd watch the mainstream media heaping all sorts of praise on Bill Gates. His philanthropy, of course, is second to none, they'll tell you, right? He's done so much good in the world. He goes to Africa, and he really helps all of those children. Wink, wink, he's also doing all sorts of fun experiments down there that you don't know about, along with Jeffrey Epstein. Here's MSNBC. You know, and here's just one example, just one random example that I pulled out of a hat of them kissing his ass.
And welcome to our exclusive interview with Bill Gates, the entrepreneur, Microsoft co-founder, software developer, and philanthropist. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Great to talk to you.
I'm so excited that you're here. and philanthropist. And then it goes on from there. There's no tough questions that come from those interviews.
That's all we get.
I'm not going to waste your time. I just want to set the stage here because I could literally play 30 different examples of this from CNBC to the Today Show. It doesn't matter. They all start the same way. And our greatest philanthropist in the world, Bill Gates, is here. Bill, thanks for wearing a great sweater today. So glad to see you, Uncle Bill. But over the past few weeks, something has shifted. It's been subtle but important. The mainstream media has been starting to ask some tougher questions to Bill Gates, and sometimes directly to his face, about his relationship with the murdered Jeffrey Epstein, the known sex offender. The mainstream media is funded, of course, by deep state billionaires that run the World Economic Forum. Tough questions like this are starting, though, to emerge, where Gates tells us that he's only ever had dinner with Jeffrey Epstein. And that's it. Nothing else to see here, like this interview.
Now, one of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, I had dinner with him, and that's all.
Oh.
And that you regret the relationship, the acquaintance?
That I had dinner with him. Mm.
And the relationship between the foundation and Epstein, which
there was... never was any relationship of any kind.
Really?
Dinner, 36 huh? times.
Yeah, 36 times. That's it. That's all that happened.
Plus, they flew to France together. Do you just fly to France with people?
Well, if you pick up the Wall Street Journal this morning, you'll learn that it's a total lie, what you just saw there. And we always knew it was a lie. According to the Wall Street Journal, here's the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Jeffrey Epstein appeared to threaten Bill Gates over Microsoft co-founder's affair with a Russian bridge player. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein discovered that Bill Gates had an affair with a Russian bridge player and later appeared to use his knowledge to threaten one of the world's richest men, according to people familiar with the matter. Microsoft co-founder met the woman around 2010 when she was in her 20s. Epstein met her in 2013 and later paid for her to attend software coding school. In 2017, Epstein emailed Gates and asked him to be reimbursed for the cost of that course, according to people familiar with the matter. So this email came after the convicted sex offender had struggled and failed to persuade Gates to participate in a multi-million-dollar charitable fund that Epstein tried to establish with J.P. Morgan Chase. The implication behind the message, according to people who have viewed it, was that Epstein could reveal that the affair if Gates didn't keep an association between the two men. So what's interesting about this Wall Street Journal piece is Natalie and I were talking earlier over coffee, as we often do. It's like the Wall Street Journal in some ways, and so I don't want to lead the witness here, but it's like the Wall Street Journal in some ways is almost providing some cover to Bill Gates.
They're giving him an alibi. They're saying Bill Gates, yes, hung out with Epstein a lot, but only because he was being blackmailed about an extramarital affair. And they printed a quote by Bill Gates saying, Bill Gates' spokesperson saying, they did spend time together. And this affair thing was something that Epstein was using because he could not lure Bill Gates into his schemes, which on the surface, if you're just reading it and you're like, oh, okay, see, that's all it is.
So
right?
Bill Gates was just an unwitting.
But it makes it seem like Bill Gates then does know about some schemes.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to get in on your schemes. Well, I've got this affair I'm going to make public. Okay, then let's just keep having some dinners. That doesn't make any sense. It seems like almost an alibi that the Wall Street Journal is giving Bill Gates.
Let us know in the chat what you think. Is it an alibi from the Wall Street Journal?
Is it better that it's just an affair and he's since been divorced, so we care less about it now. Maybe that was the press, the thing that led his marriage to the brink.
Or the many affairs that he's had. So here is one of them. And this is, of course, who the Wall Street Journal is referring to. This is Antonova. That's her name. And that's Bill Gates there, the young bridge player. There she is, the young lady. that Bill Gates was having an affair with. And here's a, you know, that's a close up of her.
Yuck.
She's a big fan of bridge and she would give speeches about it. Here she is talking about it. Play this here.
Phone calls bridge. So when they think about bridge, we also imagine the old ladies like that, right? So everyone think that it's only for my grandma played or my aunt played. But look at this, guys. Do I look like an old person to you? I'm talking about Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Warren Buffett started played bridge since he was 13 years old. And you know what? They donated $1 million to promote bridge at schools.
Yeah. Hmm. Convenient, that money, where what it travels to. So that, I mean, that young girl, right? That's that. This is Erin Elizabeth who tweeted this. She's been following this story for many, many years. She writes on Substack. She said, "Meet Mila Antonova, the young bridge player who Bill Gates had an affair with in 2010. Jeffrey Epstein found out about this affair and used it as leverage against Bill Gates. Bill Gates began having private meetings with Epstein in 2011, but Epstein didn't find out about the affair until 2013. So Bill was already friends with him well before the blackmail. In one email to his colleagues after meeting with Epstein, Bill Gates said this, quote, his lifestyle is very different and kind of intriguing, although it would not work for me. It turns out it did work for Bill, as he even flew on Epstein's private jets to meet with him.
Well, maybe he means the scope of it.
Maybe. According to Melinda Gates, Gates' friendship with Epstein played a huge role in their divorce. Of course, friend of the show Whitney Webb thinks there's a lot more to the Melinda side of this story that we haven't even talked about here. We'll start to learn more about Bill Gates. And this is the question. Are we going to start to hear now more about Bill Gates and young women? This is the question. Many have speculated that the vast trove of child pornography that was found at Bill Gates' mansion is just the tip of the iceberg. Many of you might not even know about this story because it's been buried and suppressed. Good luck finding a lot of info about it. The story was buried, of course, and a man that worked at Bill Gates' house at the time was arrested for it. Did he take the fall? Many speculate that the guy that took the fall for this may have taken the fall for the powerful billionaire that lived in that house. This was back in 2014. Watch this news report when this story broke from the Gates mansion.
And tonight he's charged with having and trading a massive amount of child pornography. Cairo 7's Gary Horker is live near the Gates compound in Medina. And Gary, this man worked as an engineer for the family.
That's what SPD and intelligence found out, Steve. They found out that the man actually worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates mansion on the grounds of their sprawling 66,000 square foot estate. And that's where they found him and questioned him last March. The estate is behind us right on the lakefront here, but this is a few blocks away and it's as close as their security will allow us to get. But according to King County prosecutors, 51-year-old Rick Allen Jones was questioned by detectives about images of child porn and even child rape that were sent from Jones's home computer. Now, none of this alleged crime actually happened at the Gates mansion, but it was here that Rick Allen Jones admitted to detectives he collected child porn for about 10 years, sending images through his Gmail account. Now, while Jones was talking to detectives at the Gates estate, three more SPD detectives had a search warrant to search Jones's Ballard apartment. There, they say they found more than 6,000 images of graphic child porn and rape, 133 of which were children identified by police. We tried Jones's apartment for comment. We got no response. We also reached out to Bill and Melinda Gates's foundation, and we did not hear back. So, in fact, we do not know if he's been fired by the Gates's family. Another mystery into this is why Jones was never jailed or charged by this these allegations up until now. The investigation started here at the Gates Foundation, the Gates Mansion, in March. And the criminal complaint, which I have right here, says he has to show up in court and face a judge in the coming days. So we're going to keep track of this. We're digging into the charges. We'll keep you posted on the latest. Live from the lakefront in Medina tonight, I'm Gary Horker, Cairo 7 Eyewitness News.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. So the investigation started at Bill Gates' home, even though the guy said he never did anything bad at their home. And then the confession happened at Bill Gates' home, just because Bill Gates likes to open his house for people to confess crimes.
Yeah, I guess.
There's, you just come to his house. Why else were they there?
Go to his office. Everyone has access to his office.
The investigation started there.
Yeah.
And the confession happened there. But we are to believe that it had nothing to do.
And the reporter asks, why was he not jailed? Like, why now we just learned about, and then he only gets 90 days. Okay. Interesting. So a lot of people in the chat room saying he's a patsy. He's the fall guy.
And Bill Gates, one of the, you know, the mastermind of shrink wrap software, couldn't have figured out that this was happening on his.
Right. Like, this guy's there to fix his computer.
Right.
Bill Gates can't fix his own computer.
Well, like, I mean, really? Bill Gates didn't come up with these programs himself. He is responsible for shrink wrapping them into software programs. But he still has a programming background. Go ahead, Philip.
Yes.
Well, I was just going to, like, so the argument is that this IT guy, somebody who is a professional in things like email and digital tracking and stuff like that, presumably he would know that if you're sending illegal images, email is not how you would go about it, I would think. That's like, they have algorithms that search that stuff.
Yeah, like, and if I'm going to just...
That seems a little fishy.
A little.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to go and send illicit activity, I'm not going to go to Bill Gates' house to do that. Like, right. I'm sure he has great Wi-Fi, the best in
so
the
he's
area.
Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do all of my, all the nefarious stuff today. I'm going to do it when I get to the office, at Bill Gates' office on his computer. Like, that's where I'm going to go.
Not Starbucks, which also has open Wi-Fi. That's a bit too slow.
Right.
Right. Not Kinko's.
Also convenient, isn't it? It's just so convenient how all of this comes together.
Doesn't pass the smell test, my dudes.
No, but we'll see how much of this comes out and what these emails that Wall Street Journal appears to have their hands on as they keep dripping out stories about Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. And why are we hearing about this now? Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. Is this, did that guy take the fall for Bill Gates many, many moons ago? And are we going to learn more about Bill Gates? I think something big and fishy is happening here. I can feel it. I can feel it in my news stomach, my bones, my news funny bone.
You think that the globalists have had enough of answering for Bill Gates and they're like,
I don't know. I'm not sure what, but there's something fishy is going on here.
And we need another globalist to sit in for him.
Like, maybe every time he's involved, somebody dies. We need to step away from this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your camera that just died.
I know.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to. The government doesn't want you to eat meat, of course. They're doing everything they can do to have you stop eating meat. My little girl the other day, she's like, Daddy, I was at the supermarket and they had these bug candy bars now. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like bug granola bars made of bugs. I'm like, here it comes. Get ready, guys. It's worse and worse. So we'll get there in a second. We're going to tell you about what the government doesn't want you to do with meat in a moment. We'll tell you that. First, though, I don't know if you've been seeing what's happening with gold. Gold prices have dropped a little bit because guess what? The Fed has been spinning yarns about, hey, things are good right now, right? Go into the U.S. dollar right now. So gold prices have actually dropped a little bit. So perfect time to be able to step in and actually buy some more gold. Oh, by the way, honey, we need to buy more gold right now, because when these prices go down a little bit, even a little bit, there's still experts believe that gold is going to hit $2,500 to even $2,800 an ounce this year. So this could be the calm before the all-time highs. That's what experts say in the gold space. But right now, obviously, we're facing a massive storm in the economy. If you just read what Zero Hedge had to say about it yesterday, we could really be on the precipice of a disaster. So now more than ever, it's important for you to make sure that your family's finances are not tied to government currency. Every government currency in world history has failed. Every one of them in all of human history, not one of them has survived. Why is the U.S. dollar going to survive? Like, that's going to be the first one. The answer is it won't. So how are your family's finances tied to the U.S. dollar? Is your retirement 20 years from now, 30 years from now, tied to the U.S. dollar? I would actually be very, very skeptical and scared about that. So our friends over at Lear Capital can actually help you get set up and buy actual precious metals, buy silver, buy gold. And right now they're giving away $15,000 in free bonus metals when you open a qualified account with their team. So just call them and see if it's a fit for you to buy precious metals. You can store it, obviously, at a safe of your location, at your house. You can store it off-site if you wish. You can do multiple things with the gold and silver that you buy. And then, of course, you can also get a self-directed IRA setup that will allow you to buy gold and silver inside of a self-directed account. That's why it's so powerful. It's not an IRA that's controlled by Fidelity or any of the big Wall Street types. It's controlled by you. So I'm a big believer in self-directed accounts. We've said it on the show many, many times. Natalie and I have a self-directed account. And if you don't understand what a self-directed account is, you have checkbook control of your finances. Wall Street does not. So you can buy precious metals inside of the account. You can buy stocks if you want to. You can buy real estate if you want to inside of the self-directed IRA. So anyway, call Lear Capital today. Just get on there and call their 800 number. Write this down and at your leisure tomorrow or whenever. Give them a call. See if it's a fit for you and get your free gold kit from them. 1-800-613-3557. Or go to the website learredacted.com. Again, that phone number is 1-800-613-3557. Go to learredacted.com. Again, 1-800-613-3557 and talk to them about their gold products and their silver products. Find out the purity levels and all of those things. Have a conversation with them. They're open and they'll help you right on the phone. Find out what spot price is and all of that good stuff. So check them out at Lear Redacted. All right, you want to talk about government watching what meat you eat? Let's do it.
All right, well, New Yorkers, you may have to rename that New York strip steak to New York strip plant-based product because the mayor wants you to stop eating meat and he is going to track you to make sure of it. Last month, the mayor announced an initiative called the Greenhouse Gas Inventory. It's a tracking system designed to assign a point value to everything done in New York City. It does not account for crime, like what is the, you know, carbon footprint of robbing a bank or something like that. None of that, only non-illicit activity. The tracking system, though, it blames 20% of New York City's emissions on the consumption of food, although these are by internal calculations. So to combat that, they say they have committed New York City to reducing food consumption emissions by 33%. Now, a major component of this is switching to plant-based foods, but those numbers don't really add up if you look at this chart. The purple here, see, it says, well, that chart here is telling you that food is responsible for about 21.3% of New York's total emissions. But then if you look at the next chart, the purple there is how food emissions break down. And it says that meat is the third from the bottom, the sort of middle purple one, is responsible for 1.80%. So I'm not exactly sure how the math goes if meat only accounts for 1.8% of the 20% of food-related emissions. How will reducing meat hit a 33% reduction?
Don't question math. Don't question their math.
Apparently, that doesn't quite work out.
Mayor Adams, he's got his own kind of abacus. He's got his own kind of special New York City abacus.
Well, in fact, these are the numbers that are on par with researcher Bjorn Lomborg. He showed that going vegetarian only cuts your food-related emissions, and a person's food-related emissions are only about 4.3% of their total emissions. Like, most of your emissions come from you using your cell phone and using pinging the towers and things like that. Very little of it has to do with food. And Bjorn Lundberg estimates that by going vegetarian, a person's overall emissions can only be reduced by 2%. And that tracks with this chart, about 1.8%. So plant-based meals are not going to make a big change in the overall emissions of New York City. In fact, by some calculations, they would be worse because so many plant-based products consist of seed oils. Seed oils is the main component of sunflower oil and canola oil, mostly. And these oils are not good for you. They will inevitably increase the healthcare costs of the city eventually. And according to author Mark Sisson in his book on keto living, he presents studies that show that eating these refined oils constrict your arteries for longer than smoking a cigarette because it is a sustained inflammation.
Yeah, like the oils, the seed oils
specifically
constrict your arteries for like 24 hours, whereas like a smoking a cigarette's like 3 or 4 hours.
It's something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And furthermore, these oils are not organic. They require more pesticide use than does agricultural animal farming. So if you're investigating processed oils raised on a steady diet of fertilizer and pesticide versus livestock farming, you're not comparing apples to apples. It's a false equivalency. And Some studies do show that the impact of on the planet of these oil-based products. Now, I'm not here to promote one diet or another. What I'm here to question is, when a politician says we're going plant-based, a lot of times that means more processed. Now, I didn't see anything that said, well, we're just going to get children and people in hospitals to like gnaw on raw lettuce. I doubt that would fly.
They're going to give like the Beyond Meat burgers that have 70 ingredients and they're all highly processed crap.
I mean, this is my assumption because this is how most plant-based diets play out when they are mass produced for more than one person. Of course, I'm sure there are plenty of vegetarians in our chat right now who say, well, I eat whole foods. I, you know, make them for myself. Which and my family, which is fantastic. But when you make these things in mass produced qualities, most of the time they are processed foods. And now the mayor is saying that he's going to put them in schools and he's going to use them in hospitals. Interestingly enough, there was a town in the UK that did this exact same thing. They decided that the food that they ordered for city events would be all plant-based. And they found out that they wasted something like 40% of it. And so again, this, you know, so we have to ask these hard questions. One is are these food products going to be made with more processed food that require more deforestation and more pesticides? And will it then cause more food waste, which is increases nitrogen emissions, food wastes, increasing. Well, yeah, go ahead.
And that's something you're not going to be able to step out and find a local person making it. So you're going to automatically have a footprint because it's going to have to be done in a factory. Whereas now I can go to a local farmer and get meat, you know,
Or
that's not commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want you to have that. They absolutely want with this tracking system to eliminate that. And this is, to me, the first step towards like the social credit score thing, right? So we're gonna track all of this in this
city. We'll show you in a second how they're going to do it. And I just want to show you this emissions chart that shows all of these seed oils and what their impact on the planet is. It's not the palm oil, soybean oil, rapeseed oil, sunflower oil. These are all things that, in the way I eat,
they're awful.
Should be avoided at all cost.
You want to read a great book? Read The Carnivore Code, by Dr. I read it a few months ago. Then you read it.
The Carnivore. Fantino, and anyway,
great. Yeah.
Saladino. Paul Saladino.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Saladino.
Well, I think. Again, we're not here to tell you to eat any which way, just to ask questions when a city is saying, oh, yes, plant-based is going to be so much better and so much easier on the planet. A lot of the times that math doesn't work out unless everybody has a rooftop garden and is eating from their own rooftop garden, right? And a lot of times that's just not the way that's executed. And also, I wonder
how that one oil hasn't been canceled yet with its name.
Which?
Rapeseed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the major problem here is that these products require large industrial farming, huge crops of seeds for these oils. And this will create even more food insecurity, according to Dr. Joseph Merkula, an osteopathic physician. He says industrial agriculture uses 75% of available farmland, yet produces just 30% of the food. Think about that. So, like, we're moving towards this. That's not sustainable. Whereas small biodiverse farms use 25% of land and provide 70% of our diet. So for the mayor to say, like, we're not in a good place right now with sustainability for food, it's leaving out these calculations of how plant-based food is mass produced. His point is that once living on animals are eliminated and replaced by patented plant-derived alternatives, private companies will control the food supply and therefore control the people. It's hard to argue with that. And he's warning that this processed diet is part of the agenda of those who promote the Great Reset.
Of course.
Now, I'm not saying that. It feels like it. Absolutely.
Well, just
right?
Look at the Dutch farmers. Take 3,000 farms away from the Dutch farmers, convert all of that farmland so they can't produce any of the livestock anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And turn all of those into apartment buildings because we're going to make you a plant-based society. And we're going to control all of that whole system.
And you're going to eat this stuff that's going to make you so sick that you're going to basically be like those people on WALL-E who need to like have those floating wheelchairs.
Yeah, and the, oh, who's going to fix that? The biopharmaceutical complex will come in and pump you full of drugs that they'll make money off of.
Yes. Okay, that's our extrapolation of worst case scenario, right? Okay, let's
get
back
to
it.
We don't even have to, like, worst case. That's already happening. Yeah. Like, it's already happening. They're keeping us sick to make money off of it.
Okay, all right, let's talk about what's really happening. So in New York City, how are they going to track this now? For now, it is voluntary. This is called Plant-Powered Carbon Challenge. They challenge you to give them your data, basically. Tell you, you know, volunteer as a business or a home. Tell them about what you eat and your sustainability practices and what how you cook what you eat. And they will give you a plan to reduce it, keep tracking you, and their plan will be more plant-based meals. Now, it's worth noting that Eric Adams is a vegan. He has this vegan cookbook called Healthy at Last. He says that this diet helped cure his diabetes, and that may be true. But again, when you look back at the chart about these emissions, you know, they're really aiming at the smallest percentage of emissions for the whole of New York City, leaving the largest emitters alone. Now, in addition to that, another of the New York City commissioners working on this project is Rohit Agarwala. He's one of the founders of Google's Sidewalk Labs, which collects data in order to forge a new standard for what cities have to do. So again, data collection in order to get you to a certain outcome. You know, again, you can volunteer for this, but how long before it's not voluntary, especially when you recall that the United Nations global climate campaigner, Cristiana Figueres, she wants all cities to focus on meatless meals and for meat eaters to be ostracized to meat sections in restaurants so that they don't, you know,
like smoking sections.
Yeah, like smoking sections. Here's her quote about that. How about restaurants in 10 to 15 years start treating carnivores in the same way that smokers are treated? If they want to eat meat, they can do it outside the restaurant. So again, this is the vision for urban living. Let me know what you think about this.
15-minute cities, urban living, where they control the entire food supply and you have a social credit score so they can monitor all of it. If you've gone over your meat allotment for the week or the month, sorry, you're cut off. You have to eat their plant-based weird crap that's highly processed. A lot of people are asking about the book that I mentioned in the chat. They want to make sure they got the right book. This is the book, The Carnivore Code, by Dr. Paul Saladino. He was a raw food vegan who had all sorts of, like, health issues. He's a doctor, and he talked about being a doctor, and he's like, we're a part of this failed process where every day he goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
And all of the people there are, they're being foisted on with statins, and then just to basically prolong their life through pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
He's like, there has to be a better way. Anyway, read the book. It's an eye-opening book. It's
actually,
a suppressed book.
There is some data about how, you know, you think, well, animals don't want to be, you know, killed and eaten. And he's like, but a lot of these processed vegan meals cause a lot of animals to be killed through deforestation. A lot of mice, a lot of rabbits, a lot of, you know, insects. Like, there is a high environmental impact of using these processed plant-based diets. And, you know, very few people are doing true comparisons of one to one. And again, when someone just says, like, oh, plant-based is the new, like, electric car. When you realize, when you look at, dig down into the data, it doesn't always turn out the way that the person using those terms for virtue signaling wants them to.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all about information here on this show. So, you know, read the book, read your vegan books, read this book and have a balance of opinions. That's what some, you know, Natalie and I have both done. We've read vegan books. We've read carnivore books. And you can make your own determination once you decide and figure out, like, what toxins are actually in some of these plants that a lot of people are eating. So it's really important. And then once you also see what the World Economic Forum is trying to do to us and control our entire supply and control everything that you do by eliminating meat, that should be a red flag. When the World Economic Forum is trying to get you to stop eating meat, it should set off some alarm bells. Please subscribe to the channel. We would love for you to be a subscriber. There's 20,000 of you watching right now on YouTube. And I think there's like 14,000 of you watching on Rumble right now. So if you'd be, we'd love for you to subscribe. We're heading towards 2 million subscribers on YouTube, which is amazing to all of you rebels out there, right? And also on Rumble, 14,000 of you watching right now, moving up towards 328,000 which is amazing. So thank you to all of you rebels out there who are free thinkers and who are challenging the mainstream narrative that is being foisted upon you. We come here to talk about and collectively learn together about what's being kept from us and what we try to uncover here on the show. So thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our great community. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, right?
Yes. All right. I'll say goodbye.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. We will see you here tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember to subscribe to the newsletter and you get a study guide for what we're going to talk about the next day, plus all of the links. Redacted.inc is how you subscribe to the newsletter. We'll see you, everybody. Thank you.